You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to racing at Hamilton, Kempton and Ripon. There's plenty to come, of course, on Wednesday, and you'll hear every race live from 1:40pm on William Hill's Racing Radio with Alex Dunn, Chris Pimlott and Rory Delaghi in the studio. My name is Sam Norris, and joining me to look ahead to four races on Wednesday, as well as a spin through the latest news, is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
Not too bad at all, Sam.
Good stuff. Every time we speak on the podcast, Kev, you tell me how it's always raining when you come to Leeds.
And guess what?
It's been beautiful in Leeds the last week or two. You come up for 2 days and the heavens have opened.
It didn't stop all day Monday, did it?
No,
and it's continued into Tuesday now as well. So,
yeah.
But hey, that's the way it is. Maybe the place needed a bit of a dampening after quite a dry spell.
Possibly so, yeah. But this heavy rainfall isn't great for racing at this time of year, Kev.
It adds an extra dimension into the equation that some of us punters don't really need. But at the same time, you could see it as an opportunity to try and dig out some horses that prefer a little bit of cut in the ground. So there is that, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. Although I often feel that heavy rainfall on firm ground kind of produces sort of odd ground.
Yeah, you just never really know.
It
depends on the track. Some courses become deep quite quickly. Others become sloppy. Others can drain it quite well.
Yeah.
So it's quite hard to get a grip on exactly what's going on.
Indeed.
When it starts raining last minute before a meeting. But there you go.
Yeah, indeed. That's the way it is. It does make it a little bit of a minefield, though. Let's talk some of the latest news stories then, Kev. Over the course of the weekend, of course, Wings of Eagles winning the derby, and he's likely to face Cracksman now in the Irish derby. First of all, was it a satisfactory derby result for you, or were you left a little bit flat by the race?
Probably left a little bit deflated by it, but when you look back on it and you look at Wings of Eagles, you look at his profile, you look at the race he ran at Chester, which wasn't a bad run at all, you know, it becomes clear that maybe he wasn't as big a he didn't have as bad a chance as the odds suggested he did. And he's obviously improved. He's a physically imposing type of horse, and to me he looked to be well on top of the field come the finish. So I know that they're quite close in the betting for the Irish Derby, Cracksman and Wings of Eagles.
9-4 joint favourites.
Yeah, it's a fair stance to make because Cracksman did shape well, but I was saying it to you before we came on air that to my mind, once they straightened up for home, 2 furlongs from home, Cracksman was chasing after the leader at that point, so he had a perfect position.
Yeah.
He was chasing the leader. There was a furlong and a half or so to go, and he was in the best position in the race, in second. At that point, the winner, Wings of Eagles, was about 6-7 lengths behind him, trying to negotiate a path through, and struggling to do so. So, with that in mind, it seems to me that Wings of Eagles had a lot more work to do than Cracksman up that home straight at Epsom.
Definitely.
Yeah. And with that in mind, I'm struggling to see why they're so close in the betting, other than the fact that, you know, this whole Son of Frankel thing continues. I could be wrong. You know, a Cracksman could be a progressive colt. He could go ahead and reverse that form. But based on visually what we saw at Epsom up that home straight, Wings of Eagles was the more talented horse and the best horse in the day. So why wouldn't he be on the 1st of July when they meet again?
Yeah, he was stopped twice as well in the running, Wings of Eagles. I suppose Cracksman supporters, Kev, will say that he was still showing signs of greenness on just his third run. Frankie Dettori was the first one at work, and despite the fact that he had a perfect position, he did have to be rousted into the race by Frankie, and may well have learnt a lot from that performance, and he may well go on to improve past Wings of Eagles now, should he shake that greenness, obviously only having his third start, and that would, I suppose, be the other side of the argument.
Of course, you know, but it's very hard to pin down progression.
Yes,
you know,
yeah,
how do you gauge that?
Yeah.
Is he going to improve for another test at 1.4, or would he make that progression if he dropped back to 1.2?
Yeah,
you know, we don't really know. It's very difficult to gauge, but to my eye, you know, he was there with every single chance to win, and he came up short. That's what I saw. That's
yeah,
what the evidence shows. And it, as I say, it's very difficult to to pin down exactly how a horse is going to progress. And there's no reason why Wings of Eagle shouldn't progress as well.
Yeah, yeah, of
given,
course.
Given how big and backward a sort he seems to be. Obviously, he's a bit more experienced than Cracksman, but he could progress too. So, yeah, for me, you know, I'll stick with the winner over the runner-up. But, you know, in terms of a bet, I was looking at Douglas MacArthur at 16-1. He cut out so much of the donkey work in the Derby. If you stop the race as they turn for home, it looked for all money like he was going to go really close. He wasn't far away. He didn't weaken. He weakened in the closing stages. But he was only beaten 4 or 5 lengths. And, you know, he's won a Derby trial. You know, he's a proper classy colt. And considering he had to do a lot of the donkey work at Epsom, they might ride him a little bit differently at the Curry, you know, ride him with a view to try and maybe win this race. And at 16-1, he might just be the value for me. Interesting to see if Best of Days, he's entered in the race. I don't think he'd be priced up yet, but
no.
He's likely to run in the King Edward VII at Ascot on the 23rd of June. If he comes through that and having ran a good race, because he was always thought of as a Derby horse Best of Days, he'd be one to keep in mind for the Curry as well. But yeah, looking forward to the Irish Derby, and obviously we're in that kind of interim period now between the Derby meeting and Royal Ascot, aren't we?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a little bit quiet for the next week or so, then it all takes off again. So yeah, looking forward to that all.
Yeah, it will be nice to see those two bump heads again, potentially, on the 1st of July at the Curra. The other horse then that we're going to have to take out of the race and mention, Cliffs of Moher, Kev, who finished second in the end. That one's got a few entries. It's 9-2 for the Eclipse, which... in terms of the betting, looks its most obvious target at the moment. Although the yard have got options, of course. Churchill and Highland Real are both in the betting for the Eclipse as well. And then, of course, looking much further down the line, there's always the St. Ledger as well. Where do you see Cliffs of Moher's next move?
I think he's got a bit of speed and a bit of class, so I think they will try and step him back.
Yeah,
I think he's in the King Edward VII at Royal Ascot as well, so he could go for that, Sam. And it should leave us a sufficient gap to go for Sandown. I think Sandown is probably the most likely target. You can see Churchill there is up in the betting and Highland Reel, but them two won't go. I mean, talking about horses that also ran at Epsom, Hawk Bill. He was beaten into third in the Coronation Cup, wasn't he, on Friday? But he's 8-1 with William Hill for the Eclipse. And for me, he might be the value last year's winner. I mean, he was beaten over a mile and four at Epsom. But before that, he looked a little bit of a tank. He looks to have... improved a little bit this season, and if there was any cut in the ground at all at Sandown, 8-1 would look a really big price on the day about Hawkbill. But as for Cliffs of Moher, I do think the Eclipse will be the target for him. I think he'll be Ballydial's number one runner there.
Yeah, and the betting reflects that. 9-2 for Cliffs of Moher, then for the Eclipse, 6-1 Churchill and Highland Reel, 7-1 Jack Hobbs, 8 for Eminence and Hawkbill, and 10-1 in bigger prices the rest. Anything else caught your eye then recently, Kev, before we move on to look at some of Wednesday's racing?
Overall, I thought Epsom was quite an underwhelming meeting.
Did you?
Yeah, usually excites the hell out of me, and I do like it as a meeting. But even the handicaps, I was watching the handicaps and nothing really grabbed my attention. I mean, Frontiersman, he finished second in the Coronation Cup. Really nice to see him make that transition from handicap company into group company. I thought Laugh Aloud was really good in the Princess Elizabeth. You know, she really zippy filly. She's going the right way. It'd be interesting to see if she bumps into Winter down the line. But no, I mean, yeah, Epsom was okay. It wasn't a fabulous 2-day festival. But as I say, we're in that quiet period now before Royal Ascot, and I can't wait for that.
Definitely. Let's move on to matters closer at hand then. And this round's Wednesday's racing. We're going to look at two races from Hamilton, one from Kempton, and then one from Ripon. Starting with the 4:10 race at Hamilton. This is a handicap over a mile and a furlong. At the time of recording, we've got a field of 14 runners to sort out, and an interesting blend of runners in here, Kevin. We've got a few horses who are trying to run up a sequence in here.
Yeah, the first of those, probably Gulf of Poets. He's coming here on a hat trick. But Mick Easterbees are not quite firing in the last few weeks, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. And the other thing is, Gulf of Poets, when he was winning, he looked like he was in great form, but he's been off for the last 7 weeks.
Yeah.
And you just kind of wonder why. So that's a little bit of a concern. Others in the field, I was looking at Haraz. He was a solid second at Beverly. But, you know, he's not from 19 now, and he's a little bit unreliable. Archie's advice, he'll be fancied for each way purposes, but he'll enjoy a little bit cutting the ground as well, but ultimately he's quite exposed. The one I was looking at is the Irish Raider, 500 miles.
Right.
He benefited from the application of blinkers to win over the course and distance last time out. I don't think a £3 rise will be enough to stop John Shanahan's charge going close again under Tygo Shea. There's not much before that, before he had his last two runs at Hamilton, there wasn't really much substance to his form at all. But he ran at Hamilton, finished fourth on the 7th of May, and that hinted at at improvement to come. He duly won next time out. He clearly likes it at Hamilton. He's clearly going the right way, and I think he should go very well again. So 500 miles in the 410 for me.
500 miles the selection then for Kevin in that 410 race at Hamilton. Half an hour later then, we go to the 440, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. Got a field of 10 down to contest this. What do you like in here, Kev?
A couple of these races that we looked at, I wanted to bring across a process of elimination, keeping it quite simple. So there's a neat 10 runner class 4 handicap over 6 furlongs here, and you can get the field down to 3 or 4 horses with realistic chances quite easily, like the likes of Gun Case, Mo Henry, who was disappointing yesterday, Dandy Dude and Avenue of Stars. They really shouldn't be good enough, so that brings the field down to 6. Dandy Leakey, he's a frustrating sort. He's gone off favourite or second favourite for 8 of his last 11 starts, but has only managed to win 1, so he's not really for me. Royal Connoisseur, he's capable but probably needs to drop a few pounds. He will enjoy the ground though. Now we're down to 4. Honeysuckle Lil, she's not the strongest of finishers and is vulnerable again. Agent Astronaut, he's in form but was held off this mark last time out and is up in class here. So now we're down to General Alexander, who should appreciate his return to 6 furlongs, and last year's winner, Inexes, who's been running over a mile his last 2 starts, but looks to have a very good chance again. He's £7 higher than when he won it last year, and I don't think this is going to be any easier for him, but he does have to be respected. But it does leave me with General Alexander for this race, who comes out tidily on the speed figures. 6 furlongs with a little bit of cut in the ground, should be right up his street. He should come on for his second start. Brian Ellison's yard are in decent form, and Ben Robinson rides well. So General Alexander in the 440.
General Alexander then at Hamilton in that 440 race. On to the evening racing now, and we go to Kempton Park to take in one from the Poly Track. This is their 7.55, which is a handicap over a mile and 3. 9 runners are going down here. Talk us through your thoughts on this one, Kev.
Again, just because it's just the 9 runners, we'll do this kind of eliminating the ones that can't win. First off, I think Murgan, Fergal, Fleeting Visit, Zambezi probably are not good enough for this one. All of a sudden you're down to 5 horses. Clarence won. He makes a return for Roger Charlton. He's capable and talented, well handicapped in the best of his form, but he hasn't been seen since 2015. Langlaf, disappointed at Donny last time out, didn't really find anything off the bridle win going off fancied. Could be forgiven for that, but it's a question mark. Captain Peacock was in good form earlier on in the season, but he looks a little bit exposed now off 86. So that leaves Opposition and Methag. Opposition hasn't really done much on the clock, so I'm happy enough to leave him alone, and that leaves the bottom weight Methag. Ran well the last twice at big prices. I don't think he's going to be quite as big a price for the 7.55 handicap. He's the bottom weight here. Got across from a wide draw to finish second last time out at Newbury. Ran a nice race. And Kempton could suit this filly by Pourmoi. So Methag gets the vote from me in the 7.55.
Methag, good choice there in the 7.55 race at Kempton. The final race on today's podcast then comes in the shape of the 8.05 at Ripon. Got a 6 furlong handicap on the turf this time. It's their feature race of the night. 14 runners go forward, and it looked a bit of a tricky one to sort out, Kev.
Just a piece. And you picked that one. So fair play.
Mwahaha.
Mwahaha. Yeah. just looking at it, Piper's Note was beaten only 5 lengths at York last time out, finished 10th of 18, but it was a solid run for Piper's Note. 5 of his 8 wins have been at Ripon, so very much a course specialist and has to be respected on the back of that, Piper's Note. Zanetto's bound to be up in the betting for this. He was in rude health and winning at Thirsk back on the 30th of April. He looked ready to go in again at that point. He looked in really good terms with himself, Zanetto, when I watched that win, but he hasn't been seen since. Yeah. So he missed the entire month of May. So it's a little bit of a question mark there. Why, when he looked to be in such good form, why didn't they look for another opportunity straight away? So a little bit of a question mark there as to why he's been off for the last 5 weeks or so. Atletico, he's interesting, progressive in 2015, but he hasn't been seen since for Roger Varian. So an interesting horse, but he just wouldn't be for me, given that he's got no recent form. That leaves me with a little each-way tickle on Snapshots for Tony Coyle. He used to be with Tom Dascombe, returned with a modest run at York last time out. It was about a stone below his best there on official figures, but it wasn't a bad starting point speed figures wise. I think he can improve on that, Snapshots, and get into the frame for this 8.05 handicap.
Snapshots, the each way call in the 8.05 race at Ripon then. Thank you very much for that, Kev. Just give us a quick recap, please, if you would, of your 4 selections for the races we've looked at on Wednesday.
I will do. In the 4.10 at Hamilton, I'm looking for the Irish Raider 500 miles to get the win. General Alexander for Brian Ellison in the 4.40. In the 7:55 at Kempton, I'm hoping that Methag can run a big race. And it's snapshots each way for me in the 8:05 at Ripon.
Good stuff. The thoughts of Kevin O'Malley then ahead of Wednesday's racing. And remember to tune into Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Alex Dunn, Chris Pimnott and Rory Delarkey spinning you through all of the action on Wednesday. You've been listening to the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.